So in the first chapter, we basically saw the introduction to entrepreneurship. In this chapter, we are basically going to look at how do we take the idea and create a reality out of this. Let's look at the learning objectives of this chapter. The learning objectives are basically, we are going to describe what is the motivation in order to create the enterprise. Creating an enterprise is basically a very complex process, and your own motivation is going to play a huge role in this journey. It is this motivation that will see you through the thick and thin, the ups and downs, while you go about creating an idea to a business reality. We will look at what are the supports that you can get in order to create in this journey that you are going to take from a business idea to a business reality. We will look at different alternatives of business structures that could be appropriate for your needs. Every organization has got to have structure, and there are different types of business structures that you can use in order to create your business. We need to figure out what is the best business structure that will fit our business idea. There are many aspects that are important when it comes to managing business. Among the three things that you got to look at while managing the business aspects are three. One, delivering the business. Two, running the business. And three, getting the business. Let's look at each one of them in a little more detail. When it comes to delivering the business, producing something that can be monitored, because if things can't be monitored, then we will not be able to predict and plan. Hence, how do we monitor in some way what we are going to do? The second thing is catering to the demand on a regular basis. Businesses cannot be run on an ad hoc manner. The product and service should be available on a regular basis to the marketplace. And hence, we got to look at how do we cater to that demand for that product and services on a regular basis. The nature of demand must be compelling, such that customers should be willing to want to pay for it. At the end of the day, business is all about money. And when we go to the customer should basically see that there is a value to it and it is worth paying for acquiring that product or service. The second aspect is running the business. It's about fulfilling the functions and obligations that are required for an organization in a systematic manner. There are multiple things that are expected from a business, and these functions and obligations need to be in a very systematic manner, need to be fulfilled. It is about observing the laws that are required to be fulfilled in order to meet the expectations of the stakeholders, customers, shareholders, suppliers, investors, so on. It is required to meet the customer's requirement as well as the compliances on a very regular basis. The third thing that you need to look at is getting the business. How do we get the necessary sales? How do we get the necessary business? How do we acquire customers? How do we find, how do we explore, how do we provide, and how do we go about getting new sales, new contracts, and new customers? We have to also ensure that there is a steady flow of income into your organization in the future on a regular basis. So that's about getting the business. Let's look at how do we go about starting our business. There are several aspects to starting your business, and among them, the foremost is going to be, what are your ambitions? What is your vision? What is your motivation? And what is your goal? At the end of the day, it is easier to plan a trip if we know where the destination lies. Similarly, your vision prescribes in some manner the destination of your business. And in order to keep yourself on the path, you will need the fuel of ambition and motivation. In what circumstances and context are you going to create this business? what is the nature of your business that you are planning to take? And when you have created your business and run it for some time, how do we want to look at the future of the business in terms of how do you want to exit from this business? Do you want to continue doing it? Do you want to hand it over to somebody or do you want to sell it off? Let's look at motivation and context. What is the immediate environment in which you are going to run your business? What are the features and amenities that you want to exploit in this particular context by which you can then take advantage of these and create your business? What type of infrastructure does your business need and what is available and what may need to be created by you? Let's look at the SME sector in India. India is one of the growing economies of the world. Here, growth is basically driven by the socio-economic policies of the government. There is domestic as well as foreign capital, that there is an influx of domestic and foreign capital, and there is a rise in the disposable income of the population. The idea is to exploit the policies of the government, look at the domestic and foreign capital that is available, and try to capitalize on the disposable income of our customers. The government has created small and medium enterprise sector, and this accounts for 45% of the industrial output and 40% of the total exports of India. So in conclusion, you can say that the SME sector is a booming opportunity for those who want to get into business. Working further on the SME sector in India, it is important to look at the contribution of the socio-economic growth of India and some of the challenges that the SME sector faces. Some of the challenges that are faced by the SME sector is basically there is a lack of capital and no easy access to finance and credit. We still have banks which have their own traditional way of funding businesses, and money is not easily available. Similarly, when there is new startups or when there is small and medium size enterprises, find it difficult, if not impossible, to attract talented and techno-savvy manpower. There is also some absence of marketing know-how. India does not have things computerized as should be, and hence a lot of information is not available in order to create precise marketing plans. Hence, we may probably need to adopt strategies by which we'll have to collect information in order to create our marketing strategies. There is an absence of innovation. India somehow or the other have not been able to spend sufficient amount of money and resources on research and development, and thus there is an absence of innovation. Maybe the climate also is not very favorable towards this particular end. And then of course we have poor infrastructure, and thus these basically because of this there is low productivity level and low capacity. When you look at the SME sector in a tabulated form, you will notice that the amount of business from small enterprises in terms of value is small. But if you look at the numbers, you will find that there is a huge number of small and medium type enterprises, and this graph depicts that conclusively. Building further on the SME sector in India, the particular sector has got recognition from the United Nations, which now celebrates Micro, Small and Medium Sized Enterprises Day on 27th of June every year. The whole idea is to create public awareness of this sector and the contribution that it makes to the sustainable development of the country. And there are multiple schemes that are promoted to support the SME sector by the government. There is what is called the National Manufacturing Competitiveness Program, which encourages the SMEs to adopt information and communication technology tools and applications for their business processes. So the government of India has created policies through the National Manufacturing Competitiveness Program, whereby it basically encourages the SME sector to use information and communication technology. So the Digital India and various other such schemes are available whereby you can adopt information and communication technology and tools and applications of this in order to better your business processes. There is assistant to training institution schemes which provides financial assistance at a national level, training institutes operating under the Ministry of MSME, which is basically medium and micro, small and medium enterprises of India. The strength of SME infrastructure to create entrepreneurship and skill development programs. So how do we plan for growth? It is important to plan for growth in your business. You may want to use your knowledge, your time, your resources and the organizational ability for managing the vital aspects of your business, that is basically getting the business, running the business and delivering it. If this does not exist, then it will be very difficult as to how you will get, do and run your business. Let's look at medium-sized businesses. Micro and small medium enterprise development was brought in amendment bill provides for changes in the criteria, the classification of MSMEs. It is stated to change from the existing based on investment based on plant and machinery or equipment to an annual turnover basis. So they have changed the definition to basically reflect not in terms of plant investment on plant and machinery or equipment, but they have now changed it to be measured in the term of annual turnover of the enterprise. As per the amendment, any business with a turnover of up to 5 crores will be considered as a micro enterprise. A small enterprise would be any business whose annual turnover is more than 5 crores but up to 75 crores. A medium enterprise will be those businesses whose annual turnover is more than 75 crores but up to 250 crores. So these basic statistics give us an idea as to what are the various types of policies and that the government has taken in order to favor this particular sector. Based on this, we are going to now look at what is our goal. What is your goal in order to create a business from the ideas that you have? So what is your goal? Knowing what you want is setting up your business is a very important part in the very early step. And some of the questions that you can basically look at is, what does running your business mean to you? What is your business all about? What is the purpose of your business? What is the mission of your business? And who else will be affected by the decisions that you take? Some other things that you want to consider when it comes to your own goal. Let's presume in 5 years' time from now, where do you see yourself? Where do you see your business? Where do you see your family? Do you have the mindset to take care of scaling up issues faced by medium-sized enterprises? Because what happens with medium-sized enterprises is that they start off and then they stagnate. But if you have the right mindset, then you can scale up and take the medium-sized enterprise to bigger proportions. In the context of your own personal values, what is important to you? Does your image of future match with your values? Is there something that is going to likely create a conflict? Now, once you have addressed these questions and once you have identified the idea that you want to work on, then the next thing that you need to do is protect your idea. So how do we go about protecting our idea? It is absolutely essential that other people do not rob your idea or probably steal a march over you. So one of the important decisions that you will face in starting your own business is around the issue called intellectual property, very commonly called IP. The intellectual property or IP is the tangible property that arises from your ideas and your thoughts. This includes innovation, invention, literary and artistic work, designs, symbols, names and images used in commerce. In order to protect your ideas, you could probably look at copywriting it, filing for a patent, or creating a trademark. There are different types of trademarks, and these are the different types of trademarks. They could be for products and services, they could be through certification, they could be through geographical indicators, they could be certain collective trademarks, or it could be by virtue of the logo that you use. Let's look at patent. This is basically for those people who have invented something new. They have a right to prevent other people from making, using, or selling what they have created and that they have patented. Patents are considered as one of the best protections as far as the marketplace is concerned for new products. You could also patent not only just products and services, but also processes. Let's look at copyright. It covers the original work of art, authorship, or written copy. So basically, you're talking about books, films, music, songs, films, anything that is basically creative in the domain of creative. These can be protected by copywriting them. The other way is basically through trademarks. It protects the value of a name, a brand, logo, or any other symbol that allow your product to be distinguished from the others. Like when you think of a Mercedes-Benz, you see the tick mark, the basically star, or the tick mark that you see when it comes to Nike. These are memorable. It can be spelled out, and it is very clearly defines that business as different from the rest of them. These cannot be copied by others, and you can sue them if they copy those trademarks. Trademarks ensure that it makes sense to convey that the product and the organization work for customers and other stakeholders. Now let's look at different types of business structures. Now, business structures, there are multiple ways you can create. It could be a sole trader, something called sole proprietorship. It could be a partnership. It could be a limited liability partnership, LLP as it is often called. It could be a limited company, either as a private limited or a limited company. It could be a franchisee model that you are choosing. Your business could be a social business, and there are some others. Let's look at each of them a little more specifically. Sole trader or a sole proprietor. This is the simplest form to operate. As a sole trader, you are not separate from your business. The implications of this is that how you raise your finances and your personal liability for the debts and the taxes. That means you are liable personally for, since there is no difference between you and the business, you are personally liable for all the debts and the taxes. The other option is basically partnership. Here, two or more people co-own the business and share the income from it. As with the sole trader, here too, you are not seen as separate from the operation. You as well as your business are personally liable for the debts and taxes. The next is limited liability partnership. This requires at least one general partner and one limited partner. Of course, you can't be both. Limited partners contribute to the funding to start up the company. They are liable for the debts up to the amount that they have contributed. A limited partner cannot manage the business. General partners manage the business, and they are liable for any debts that the business cannot pay. The other option is a limited company. The business is separate from the operators. Its finances are separate from the owner's personal finances. So here, there is a differentiation between the person and the business. The company retains the profit after paying the taxes. In India, for the companies, it is required to have directors and shares, memorandum of association, and articles of association. It is required to be incorporated and registered under the Indian Companies Act 2013. limited companies can basically be private limited companies or public limited companies. Then there is the franchisee model. This is basically where a business owner is a franchisor of a third party, and he buys or he gets the license to use the business name, logo, and the business model. Among the most famous ones are McDonald's and Subway. They are best known franchises in the marketplace. This is one way to start the business, which avoids a lot of activity required in a new business. It is also a way to scale your business idea. Social businesses. Social enterprises are those businesses with a social objective. The profit usually is reinvested in the business or in the community that it basically is created to serve. So rather than maximizing profit for the shareholder, the money is plowed back into the enterprise. The other is community enterprise, generally taken to be basically a social enterprise owned and run by a geographical community or a community of interest. In social businesses, you also have the cooperative. Basically, it is an autonomous association of people who have come together voluntarily to meet certain common economic, social, or cultural need and aspirations. Like you have basically the cooperative milk sector, you have probably cooperative banks. This is done through a jointly owned and democratically controlled enterprise. Okay. There is something called the International Cooperative Alliance, which creates the definition for it. Of course, there are many different types of cooperatives. Let's look at some of the types of cooperatives. You have the worker cooperative. This is basically cooperative owned and run by the workers. Most famous example would be the unions that are created. Okay? Or the cooperative credit societies or the cooperative enterprises that are created to serve the workers. Then you have the housing cooperative. The cooperative owned and run by the tenants. So you have housing cooperative societies. These are cooperatives where the people who are the tenants of that particular place, they own the housing society. Then you have consumer cooperatives, where a set of people come together and buy and sell goods, and it basically is owned and run by its own customers. Then you have cooperative consortiums. These are basically cooperatives owned and run by other businesses which use the services of that cooperative. And then of course you have multi-stakeholder cooperatives, which is basically a mix of any of the above. While we were talking about the different types of business structures, we also said there was a category which was called others. Some of them can be explored as community land trust. This is an organization created to hold land as an asset for community use. Then you have credit union. It is a non-profit financial institution that is owned and operated by its members. You have development trust, a community-based enterprise that secures and manages community assets. And then you have social firms, a business committed to creating employment and training opportunities for people who are furthest from the market. So what structure do you need? It is advised that you make certain research, you do certain research before making up your mind as to what type of legal structure you would need. Some of the things that you want to consider are, do you want to start the business on your own or do you want somebody else that you want to partner with? And how many such people do you want? Are you going to basically take over somebody's business or are you going to start up from your own? How much administration is required and what type of skills, knowledge, attitude is available with you and whom would you want to partner with in order for other people to do some part of the administration? And how much finance is needed? What are the sources of your finance? What are the assets with you? How are you prepared to use these as collateral if it is required in order to borrow capital from the marketplace? Will it come to you in form of loans and as shareholders? How does having shareholders and how will it impact your growth plans? Do you want benefit or protection from taxes? You have to take into consideration your community, your surroundings, and your environment while trying to figure out what structure do you need. While creating these businesses, you may also need some help, and some useful resources could be National Institute of MSME, which is run by the Government of India. There is Startup India, which is another institute or another resource. There is the Indian Institute of Entrepreneurship. There is the Developmental Commissioner or Development Commissioner, Ministry of MSME. There is Indian Entrepreneurs. There is Indian Entrepreneurs Club. And there is Entrepreneur India. Some other resources are, there is the Startup Web. From Entrepreneurs is another resource. Technology, Innovation, Management and Entrepreneurship Services, that is the TIME as it is frequently called. There is the Small Industrial Development Bank of India, which is basically SIDBI. There is the Indus Enterprises. There is the Startup Center. And there is, of course, the Indian Angel Network. These are some resources that you can research and figure out as to which of them could become applicable to you and which of them that you can use in order to set up your business. Getting and running business. Many small businesses start small with no external help or any funding. It is when you have to scale it up in a systematic manner that you may need some external assistance. First thing that you need to do is acquire the skills that you need in order to grow your business over time. Explore the useful resources. As you develop your business, you will need either support from other people, and you can figure out where you can find the support. In this session, we looked at how we're going to go about from creating the idea to a reality. In the next session, we are going to look at how do we create value. Thank you.